Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey family, would you all please pray with me and pray for me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for it's inspired by you. Your word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, Jesus, with you being the living word, we ask you to instruct us, teach us, rebuke us, direct us, and guide us this morning like only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be home. Yes, I'm so glad to be home with you all. Love y'all too. Speaking of home, I don't know about you all, but we had the greatest soul food Thanksgiving dinner ever. Yes, we got down. We had a good Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm so proud of my family because this year we said grace before we ate. Some of y'all will get that next week. Yeah. So as I was studying, looking for things to talk about, one of the things that I learned is that the grace prayer, we say grace before we eat, that comes from a Latin phrase that means an act of thanks. And so you can put that in your belt and share it with someone that you have the opportunity to share with. Well, I hope you came hungry this morning because I have some more soul food for you. We are going to look into the book of Jeremiah, which my texts come from, and we're going to wrestle with that through the scriptures. Amen? Amen. So my topic is called Thanksgiving. It's really Thanksgiving living, but I figured that we put it together and call it Thanksgiving because it's a lifestyle. It's not something that we do just doing Thanksgiving or every now and then, but it's living a life of Thanksgiving. And so if you have your Bibles or you can read up on the screen with me, Jeremiah 15:16, and the English Standard Version reads, as is. And if you don't have it, all right, there you go. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words were a joy and a delight to my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord of hosts. That says a lot. When the Holy Spirit showed me that, I'm like, wow. Jeremiah, remind me of us today. If you would, a little context to the text. In chapter 15, Jeremiah was in a lot of dialogue with God. They were going back and forth. One minute, Jeremiah is happy and joyous because God has called him. God has saved him. God is using his life, but, and I have a friend to say something about buts. She says it's a good but and a bad but. The bad buts, you need to kick them out your life. Keep the good buts. And I know that y'all think I'm using bad words up here, and I'm not. I'm talking about B-U-T, not B-U-T-T-S. So, FYI. And I hope that y'all came relaxed and ready to get into the word, but don't be so tight. The last service, my goodness, they was like, and then I got stiff. I was like, okay, do I move? So we're going to devil into the word of God and see what God has to say about that. But going back to Jeremiah, when it came to doing the hard things, then he started to complain. Aren't we like that sometimes? Start to be ungrateful. We're like that sometimes, yes. Didn't appreciate what God had done. Easily forgot it. Not knowing that God, he has our back all the time, 24/365. He has us. So we have nothing to complain about and worry about. If the word of God is in us, if you eat that word, it will bring you joy, and it is a delight. And I'm sure that you all can agree to that. In 2015, I walked through the doors of Coastal Community Church when we were at Sebastian Middle School. I walked through those doors, I was broken. I was hurt. On the outside, I looked good, but on the inside, I was a hot mess. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite persons that's in here, I'm not going to call her name. When I got to telling her about my story, she said, "I thought you had it all together." It's like, child, no, I am a mess, and God is at work in my life. But, that's a good but, if I yield to him and I give him my will, let him break my will to do his will, then healing can come into my life. And so that's what it was for me. When I walked into Coastal Doors and I heard their mission, it was the mission statement that propelled me to where I am today. I was desperate. I don't know why you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I was desperate because I was so tired of living a life that was bound by addictions. My life was spiraling out of control. I was crazy. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to accept him just so I can get out of this lifestyle. But little did I know that he had another plan for me. He wanted me to get closer to him and draw closer to him. And that's what Coastal Mission helped me to do. We're going to have it up on the screen, but I know that you know it. Right? What's the mission? That's it. One more time. To live loved by God and to love others with God's love. That's a lot. I could unpack that and preach that, a series on that. That's a lot, because a lot of times we don't know how to live loved. And depending on where we came from, some of us came from healthy households, some of us came from unhealthy households. Some of us had two parents, others had one parent. Some of those households were healthy, some unhealthy. And it's those individuals who come into the church that haven't quite learned the concept of how to live loved by God. Let's look at the scriptures in Matthew 22:37-39, and I'm reading out of the ESV version. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And as I was preparing for this message, I did a Greek New Testament mostly written in Greek, if not all of it. I did a study on the word love and ran across agape. And some of the things that I gleaned from that is that agape love is a conscious choice. Agape love is the highest kind of love. Agape love is a humble spirit to serve others, or let me say that differently, to serve others humbly. It also means an intentional choice to be loved by God and to love others with God's love. And so that's what I got here at Coastal. At that time, I understood that God was ready to take me to a new level. But, that's a bad but. My will had to be broken. I had to say yes first before he could do anything. So I had to give up my will to his will so it could be done in my life, right? And so I think it's Oswald Chambers who says this. He says that before a person can say yes to anything, it has to pass through their will. I'll say it again. Before a person can say yes to anything, first it must pass through their will. So we have to be willing to let God in to do the work that only He can do in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God is interested. First of all, we're the church, right? The community church. We're a community of believers that come together. God wants you to be first before you do. A lot of times we try to do without being who He is, and we're not one with Him. Our lives start to go, and we start to have conflict, inner conflict. And it's these individuals who they've grown up in a household with authority that was unhealthy. And for that reason, they do not know how to love. They don't know how to accept love, neither do they love others. But Romans says this, verse, this is my husband's favorite verse, Romans 10, verses 9 through 11, and it's the NIV version. It reads like this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe. It's with your heart that you believe, not with your mind. And are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So we come to church, we're in the church, we're saved. But again, because we had a bad relationship with the person that raised us in authority, we bring that into the church. And it's these individuals who are the biggest headaches, they're the messiest people, they're the most rebellious people in churches across the globe, not here in Coastal, but churches across the globe, Africa and all those other places. And it makes it hard because, number one, hard for that person. They don't understand what's going on in their life. And it's hard for the people that's leading them because they have to wrestle with them. They have to constantly correct them and try to get them to be loved by God and to love others with God's love. Are you with me? You can't give what you don't have. If you're one of these persons who had a bad experience with authority and you come into the church, and so that you've never learned how to live loved by God or love others with God's love, well, then something happens. And that something is called inner conflict. And so the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:17, and this is how it looked. For the flesh, it desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want to do. Amen. Meaning that there are some things that you and I probably want to do that we have no business doing. I know I do. Some of you are masters. Y'all so jammed up with Jesus, you never break a rule. You never cross the line. You do everything you're supposed to when you're supposed to do it. I know that there are some out here that this message isn't for them. Let me show you how it looked. I'm going to show you how that inner conflict looked. You're saved, but you're in the church, and your will hasn't been broken. You don't want to change because you don't want to change. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. So this is one of the examples, and I don't think we have anybody in here over 50. It don't look like nobody in here is over 50. So I'm going to say the younger generation's version of that. Girl, if they mention one more potluck this year, I'm going to lose my mind up in here, up in here. I know if you ain't said it, you done thought about it. Or the brothers would say something like this. I know we don't have any older men in here over 50, so they would probably say something like this here. Bruh, if Pastor Seth mentions Mission Uganda 2024, and it ain't even 2024 yet, I'm gonna lose my mind up in here, up in here. Nobody in here has thought that. I know you haven't. You have all holy thoughts thinking of that. And then I'm gonna pick on my friend Amber. Number one, because she's my friend. Number two, she's not gonna get mad and leave the church because of what I said. And so this is probably how that go. These are the middle-aged people. Girl, if Amber asked me one more time to serve in that children's ministry, I'm gonna what? Help me out. Up in here. That's the flesh wanting to do what it desire, and the spirit is saying, you know what? I want to use you as broken bread and poured out wine. You can serve here. Wait until this evening to go to the tiki bar and sing karaoke and your favorite songs. See the Temptations and all of that. I'm just playing. It could be that God is wanting you to be a little bit more intimate with him. It could be that God wants to draw you closer to him and go into a deeper relationship. Because one of the dangers of complacency is you get stuck. And you never grow because, number one, now you're doing everything. This is how black folks say, everything that you want to do instead of doing what God has called you to do. That was Jeremiah's problem. He was called by God. The scripture said it in Jeremiah 15, 16, that I'm called by your name, O Lord of hosts, and so are you, and so am I. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
All right. So this is Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul had wrote that letter to Timothy while he was in jail. He had been beaten, incarcerated, all kind of hard things had happened to him. The hard things that I was talking about earlier. He said this here about people like that. Having the appearance, Timothy 3:5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. What? You telling me God would say a harsh thing like that to avoid such people? And we would probably say something like this. I'm going to love them from a distance because the Bible says avoid such people. Wrong. That is not what the spirit behind what Paul told Timothy. He just said, you know what? Those are the people that you don't want to hang out with. Now, even though Jesus hung out with sinners, we know that. If you're weak and you're suffering from addictions to, I'm going to just say alcohol, for example, you have no business going to the tiki bar where they sing in karaoke because you probably haven't been developed to a level of maturity where you're not tempted by that. We're all tempted by something. And then Jesus said this about people who refuse to change. In Matthew 22, verses 29, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong. He was talking to the Pharisees. You know, they were just loaded down. They were religious and loaded down with traditions and still practiced the Torah. First five books of the Bible and all that, and you couldn't look at nobody, you would be sinning if that was it, left up to them. Jesus answered them, you are wrong, because you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. So one could wonder this. I wonder if Paul said such harsh words to Timothy, and it could look like this here. Having the appearance of godliness, you look good on the outside, but denying the power to change. Think about that. Is there anything that you need to change in your life today? I know I have several things that I'm trying to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to do in me. Let's look at John 14. We're going to read several scriptures. John 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said, he answered them. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everything has to be done according to Jesus' words. This is one of the things that I have a problem with when it comes to young people. They oppose biblical truth and defend their truth. And so they'll say something like this, that's my truth. And I want to say, shut up. And I'll tell you why. Is that a bad word? Shut up, still a bad word? Because it was when I was young. Eddie, is it still a bad word? Okay. So I want to say, please forgive me for cursing. Because this is what I asked them. Okay, I know Jesus is truth. So who are you? And if the first words that come out their mouth isn't, I'm a child of God, I'd be like, please. Your truth, you can't trust your truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You don't really know him. John 6, 35. Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, nor shall their thirst. And whoever believes in me, shall never thirst. Those were his words. So that right there holds us accountable or nails us to the cross to be accountable for our actions. He say he'll give us what it is that we need. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could think or imagine as we sang in that song. That's the truth. But anytime you hear anything that opposes biblical truth, it's a lie. It's just that simple. So I have one point, and it's my only point. And it is, thanksgiving is living a life of being, a lifestyle of being broken bread and poured out wine. It's a lifestyle. It's not like if Jesus break me one time and then I'm done. He's done with me because I'm perfect. He have to keep breaking us and breaking us and breaking us. And the way that he does that is through circumstances and situations. Some of them then pass through his will. Some of them maybe haven't. I don't know. I can't give you the answer to that. All I can tell you is that God's word is true. Jesus loves you, and I believe because he loves you, we don't have to worry about some of the things that we worry about. We have no business worrying about them. So before you click off on me, because I said you had to be broken and you had to be poured out, I want to say this. I would be lying if I stood up here and told you that I mastered thanksgiving, because I haven't. Living a life of brokenness and being poured out is hard. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good. But I can stand here and tell you that my greatest seasons of blessings and my greatest lessons that I've learned in life came through a time of brokenness. When I thought all had broke loose in my life. I ain't gonna say the word because I don't want to cuss. When I thought, oh, it started with an H. When I thought that all H had broke out in my life and my life was never gonna change, that was a delusion. Because Jesus said he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Amen? Amen. So there's hope, right? Yes, we have hope in Jesus. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. And this is the promise. God gave us so many precious promises. Precious promises. His divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. Not some, everything. We received all of this by coming to know him. It's not nothing that we've done. We just come to know him. We believed in our heart that he was who he said he was. We received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. That is good news. You mean I have everything that I need to live a godly life? Mm-hmm. That's what the word says. Amen. He's given us all that we needed. And I love, this is one of my favorite verses, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it to the full. If we just yield our will to him, I tell you to run over. Goodness, grace, mercy, it'll run over into the lives of other people. We're not to keep the bread to ourselves and be stingy. Jesus wants to make us and break us over. Bake us and make us over and break us again so that we can pour out our lives to others. There are people out there dying. And we have the answer. But we're comfortable with coming to church Sunday after Sunday. Excuse me. Life group week after week and not change or don't want to break, have our will broken to give our life away to people who are hurting. That needs to change in the church. It really does. And I know that there are great people that are, they're on fire for Jesus in here. They serve faithfully. But then there are some that can't see past themselves, however that looks. We want to change that. We want to break that. So quickly, I have four implications that I want to leave y'all with. And I want you to wrestle with these here in prayer this coming week or in your life groups. Wrestle with these here. Agape love is relational, not transactional. So live to give, not live to get. We don't have to worry about getting anything. God gives us everything that we need and some to pass out to somebody else. We give a tenth of our tithes, my husband and I, June, and we give 5% to other causes. And guess what? We can't stop money coming into our house. That's what I mean by when you can give and not live to get, live to give. Number two, God is interested in you being first and doing second. A lot of times we get it twisted. We want to do stuff for Jesus without being changed. God wants you to be love to someone else. Your truth isn't necessarily God's truth. Well, this is what I believe, so that don't necessarily mean what you believe. If it opposes the word of God, it's not biblical truth, so let it go. Being broken and poured out is hard, but it's essential, and it's beneficial for advance in the kingdom of God. At this time, if you don't have your elements for the Eucharist, and what does Eucharist mean, church? We're going to get ready to partake in the Eucharist. So you can get your elements, please. On the night Jesus was being betrayed, going to be betrayed, he was having dinner with his disciples. And as they were eating, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he told them, take, eat. This is my body that was given to you. So you can eat the bread. He took the cup. And he offered it to all of them. He said, this is my blood, the blood covenant that I'm making with you. Take, drink. I'm done, but before I leave, I want to pray a blessing over each and every one of you. Would you please bow your head and heads and close your eyes? May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.